This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, summer is officially, unofficially over this week, which is awful. Whatever the weather may be doing, the vacations are taken and the kids are now back at school. And so we're going to bring you an end of summer kind of story from no less a writer than the great Calvin Trillin. Trillin has been writing for The New Yorker for more than 50 years. He's done crime reporting, memoir, loads and loads of humor, everything. And for nearly that long, Trillin and his family had been getting together in the summer, and he would show off a very different side of his work as a screenwriter and director of films that you might describe as, at best, niche.
My name is Calvin Trillin, and our movies began many years ago. My girls, who are now in their 40s, were 3 and 6, and we had a Super 8 silent camera. And I don't know how, why, or how we decided to make a movie with a plot.
The Golden Egg. Once upon a time, in a beautiful land, there was a princess. She had a stableman named Zalman. He was very loyal, hardworking stableman. Although quite stupid.
Our first movie was about a golden egg stolen from a haughty princess by a robber with a fox-like grin. And my wife, Alice, was the camera person, or the cinematographer, I guess. And I guess I wrote the movies. I added a narration on a tape recorder, which sometimes was in sync with the action on the screen, and most often was not in sync with the action on the screen. We've never been complimented on our production values.
One day, the loyal stableman came in a terrible excitement. He had something to give her, a golden egg. Even Princess Rosalie had never seen it.
We started going in 1972 to Nova Scotia. I liked arriving on July 1st, which is Canada Day, because I liked the bands playing for us as we went down the South Shore. I perfected sort of a Prince Philip wave. It's in the wrist. We've gradually got a sound camera and kept making movies, and then we occasionally came back to the Golden Egg. It was sort of like one of those franchises in Hollywood where they keep going when they need some money.
Hanton's Productions, in conjunction with the Kishka King Trust, presents The Return of the Golden Egg.
My girls were typecast as two lovely little girls at the beginnings, the first movies. And the haughty princess was played by Josie Joel, our friend's daughter. She was pretty haughty. I mean, she did haughty very well.
Come immediately.
Come on.
2 for 3 and hurry.
Oh, it's so nice of you to have us for tea.
Yes, isn't it? And do be tidy.
The robber with a fox-like grin was played by her little brother, Danny.
Where do we get the money?
Why not try stealing?
Hey, aren't you the robber with the fox-like grin?
The dumb stableman role was the robber with the fox-like grin's father, who had an excellent chicken imitation, because it turned out that he was the one laying the golden egg. The grown-ups had only bit parts and usually sort of embarrassing or humiliating parts. In the old days when we had film, we would have people to our barn the next summer to see the last summer's movie. Alice and the girls would make cookies and I got beer and had a sheet and we had a projector. We called it the South Shore Film Festival. A Trillin retrospective. Nobody else's movies would be shown in our barn. Then my girls sort of aged out. My older daughter was 15 when we quit. I mean, she didn't complain about it, but I think we all felt that it was about time to stop. Before my younger daughter, Sarah, she got married just about a year before Abigail, we made like a short documentary on Sarah's career as a movie star. And we showed it in the night before the wedding. And just as an indication that parents will never run out of ways to embarrass their children.
I just can't say, I just can't say. It's so difficult to know. Though I know that stealing's naughty.
We thought with our grandchildren we would just start over again. My wife died and just before the first grandchild arrived, but we did exactly that, and we waited, and I don't know how old they were, but only a few years before we started again.
Passport, please. What is the purpose of your visit?
We're looking for a robber with a fox-like grin. He stole the egg from our princess.
My younger daughter, Sarah, had an emergency appendectomy, and the kids, particularly her kids, were sort of worried about it. I guess we were all a little tense about it. So we did it partly just to take their minds off of it and to take our minds off of it. From there on out, we had regular movies, I think.
Mr. Bourne was such a lovely VIP.
Isabel, my older granddaughter, played the proprietor of a snooty inn. She does a good snooty. And my older grandson, Toby, pretty much had a lock on the robber with a fox-like grin role. I think he had watched Danny play it many times in that movie. And my younger granddaughter often played the marshal who got to the dock just in time to see the robber with a fox-like grin flee in a boat and always said,
"Rat for it again."
I love the way she said, particularly before she got her R's under control. The same escape route, where it's always in the boat from the dock. My grandchildren, fortunately, are very close, even though they live far away from each other. They see each other in Nova Scotia and at Christmas and various times. And yeah, it helps that, I think. It's great to have a kind of multi-generational summer place, and the satisfaction of gathering blueberries with your grandchildren in the same place you gathered them with your children.
No one ever knows what he has designed. Marshall and the fox are always way behind. You can always tell the chase is over when you hear the marshal saying that she's
foiled again.
Will these people ever catch him as they chase him all about? The answer may compel you. Sorry, we can't tell you. You must watch the sequel to find out.
The summer of 2016, the kids were getting a little old. We were about done with the movies we made. So I think we all had the idea that maybe this was the last summer that we would do it, and that's why we did another Golden Egg.
And finally, this evening, a mystery story from Nova Scotia about the legendary Golden Egg, whose whereabouts have captivated the world for years. Here reporting from
Isabel, who had often been the innkeeper, this time was a TV reporter.
Where is the golden egg that was stolen from a haughty princess by a robber with a fox-like grin many years ago?
Toby played the robber with a fox-like grin.
Follow that dream?
Yes. When I was 12, I found out I could do a fox-like grin.
And you stole the golden egg?
Yes, but I lost it in a poker game. So now I can't do the grin, so I've lost my identity.
You must believe in yourself. I think you can do it. Just try.
Another aspect that seemed sort of to put a punctuation mark on this, the original robber with a fox-like grin, Danny Joel, now Daniel S.S. Joel QC, a barrister in London, was coming to North America with his three kids and his wife, and so we were putting him back in the movie. He played Lord Chumley of Snarf.
Lord Chumley. As you know, there have always been rumors that you were the original robber with the fox-like grin who stole the golden egg from Princess Rosalie.
Rubbish.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
At the end of this movie, and this is a spoiler alert, the end of this movie, the egg actually gets scrambled and eaten. They insisted on that. The cast insisted that it get eaten, even though I always assumed it was solid gold. And not edible.
Delicious. Maybe next time I'll try sunny side up.
Rat foiled again.
Just to know where that egg had been stashed by the rich guy who wouldn't say. Was it on the beach?
One of my grandchildren, I think it was Toby, my older grandson, said the other day, what are we going to do next summer without a movie? And the kids are used to it, and they look forward to Nova Scotia. My granddaughter, Rebecca, who is interested in writing, has already decided that she'll be the screenwriter when they make them for their kids. And she's a little worried about the plot. She's a little concerned about how to bring the egg back if it's already been eaten. But I told her she could actually start with some other franchise. She doesn't necessarily need the golden egg, and she said she might just do that.
Eat the egg, that's still groovy, cause this is our final movie. And we no longer need that egg of gold. And we no longer need that egg of gold.
Of gold.
Members of the Trillin family and friends singing a number that I believe is called Egg of Gold. You can find everything Calvin Trillin has written for The New Yorker for 50-plus years, including his essay, Final Cut, about their home movies at newyorker.com.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.